It's 11:58 and time for your KMXT Midday Report. Stay tuned at 12 o'clock for the update from the Kodiak Emergency Operations Center. ...52 degrees here in beautiful downtown Kodiak. Thank you for listening to KMXT on 100.1 FM. It's your public radio station. We're looking for some significant rain and wind overnight. In fact, the National Weather Service has issued a special statement. Heavy rain will continue for Kodiak Island through the end of the week, especially the east side of the island where the city is. We've predicted 3 inches over the last 2 or 3 days, and we're looking for another 3 to 4 inches by the end of the week. This will increase potential for small stream flooding and mudslides. So please take precautions. We're also looking for significant wind. We have storm warnings from Kachemak Bay to the Shelikof Strait.
Well, good afternoon. Thank you for tuning in today, October 1st, 2020. Well, last week we said we would be taking a short break, and it turned out to be a pretty short break here, didn't it? So my name is Mike Twenge, the Kodiak Area Emergency Services Director. Last week I announced we would broadcast any significant COVID-19 news during this format, and we will be doing that just again today. DOC Public Information Office and the Coast Guard Public Affairs Office have released the latest small cluster of cases, keeping the community informed. And today, Public Health Nurse Elsa DeHart will speak to these recent cases, and I hope this clarifies any speculation circulating about the number of positive case totals. Elsa?
Hi, thanks, Mike. Yes, I'm Elsa DeHart. I am a nurse consultant for Public Health Nursing. And we do know that we have right now 7 cases in Kodiak. We have 1 case that was announced last week that has remained isolated and will be completing their isolation pretty soon. And then we have this group of 6 that I think as everybody has been hearing about. I really want to thank Public Health has been working really hard with their Coast Guard, their partners in the Coast Guard and the partners with the school district and everybody in an overabundance of caution to make sure that anybody who is at any risk of exposure has been contacted and isolated. And I really hope that we can keep this contained. Please just remember that anybody you come across could have COVID in this world in this day and age. And so that's why we remember to wear our masks and stay 6 feet apart and wash our hands and do all the things that are important to do that. So Mike has a little bit more information here for you about these cases and the community, but we do want you to know that everybody's working together to contain this and make sure that everybody stays safe. Thanks.
All right. Thank you, Elsa. So this brings the total case count, like Elsa said, to on the Kodiak Island borough to 80, with 7 cases classified as locally active. And surrounding these recent cases reported, I have a message to read from the Coast Guard Air Station Captain Daly, and he states, "Our top priority is ensuring the health and safety of the public, our personnel and their families. We understand there is concern about the COVID-19 virus and its potential impact to our community. The Coast Guard is constantly assessing the operational environment and making decisions on the best available information and guidance. Our goal is to limit the greatest extent possible any outside factor that would impact our mission readiness. The Coast Guard remains mission ready to serve the American people and to do so safely and carefully in order to minimize the spread of the virus through our ranks, families, and communities. The crew members who tested positive have been isolated and contact tracing is underway to identify possible origins and others who may have come in contact with the crew members. The Coast Guard requires members to follow all CDC, state, and local guidelines to prevent the spread of the COVID-19. This includes social distancing, wearing masks, sanitation, limiting the size of social circles, and avoiding high-risk activities to minimize exposure. The Coast Guard has close points of contact with CANA, Kodiak Area Native Association, who does priority testing for Coast Guard personnel so our members can receive immediate test results. All Coast Guard COVID information is shared with the Kodiak Public Health community, and our infection numbers are included in the community numbers. There was some confusion whether there were sort of duplicate numbers. They're all the same numbers. The Air Station Command is still operating with duty crews while the command assesses their readiness posture. The Air Station is still fully employed and mission capable. All non-duty personnel are staying home while workspaces are disinfected, and the command works to find out the full extent of the contact tracing. With the assistance of the Kodiak Fire Department, we have completed disinfection of our hangar workspaces. Coast Guard has established a robust contacting tracing team and works directly with the Kodiak Public Health System. Coast Guard has also set up care teams to assist family that are in quarantine or isolation to meet their personal needs. In addition, medical personnel are in contact daily to monitor their status. So the Kodiak Air Station is completing the 100% COVID testing of all their personnel. So we can see that the Coast Guard is treating this as a priority and is working closely with the school district, as Elsa said, the local health and the EOC, the ESC with this transparency. The Bayside Fire Station testing site at 4606 East Reznov Drive remains open Monday through Friday from 11 to 2 p.m. for COVID tests. Right now, tests are being prioritized for symptomatic persons. However, non-symptomatic tests are still being conducted. The site was closed earlier this week due to weather, but is now open again. For more information or to schedule a COVID-19 test, call CANA at 486-9870 or KCHC at 481-5000. And note that they have tested over 12,000 people so far. Today, the state of Alaska reported 127 new cases of the coronavirus. This information can be found at covid19.alaska.gov. In total, 57 Alaskans with COVID-19 have died since the pandemic began here in March. Today's Alaska dashboard will report 7,948 total resident cases. Case count is trending upward. This virus is still certainly among us. Just a note, if you plan to travel, continue to take precautions while you're away. Take a couple days around the house when you return just to understand your health and prevent any potential spread. So as always, remember to stand back, wear a mask, and wash your hands with warm soap, soap and bubbles. If necessary, we'll return next Thursday at noon for another community update. I'd like to thank the Kodiak Island Borough School District for live streaming these, KMXT and KVOK for broadcasting these community updates. Stay Kodiak strong. And if you have any information you're looking for, contact the EOC Public Information Office at 486-8970. 486-8970. Thank you.
NPR News is brought to you in part by Providence Kodiak Island Counseling Center. For an appointment or more information, 481-2400.
The Kodiak Elementary School has been closed temporarily after someone at the school tested positive for COVID-19. School Superintendent Larry Ledoux says public health officials notified the district Wednesday afternoon that a person at Peterson Elementary School has tested positive for the virus. He says privacy guidelines prevent him from saying whether that person is a student or a staffer. Ledoux says the process of contact tracing is underway. The district defines close contact as being someone for 15 minutes or more and within 6 feet.
So let's say if a student in a classroom was positive or a staff member that worked in that classroom, it's safe to assume that all of the students in that class would be considered close contacts.
Ledoux says under state guidelines, every close contact would have to be quarantined for 14 days, which means all students who were identified as close contacts would have to stay home during that period. He says the first step will be to notify all staffers and families of students of those who had direct exposure to the virus. The superintendent also says there will be a deep cleaning and disinfection of the school today, with close attention paid to areas where students and staffers may have interacted with the student or staffer who tested positive. Peterson Elementary is scheduled to reopen tomorrow, but classrooms with students and staffers who have been identified as close contacts will be taught remotely for at least 14 days. The superintendent says the district is well prepared for remote instruction.
We have go boxes that we sent home, which are boxes full of workbooks and supplies and crayons and everything they need to continue instruction.
Other students who are not close contacts will be able to return to school on Friday. Elsa DeHart, Kodiak's public health nurse, says the Peterson School case is connected to an outbreak reported at the Kodiak Coast Guard Air Station. The Coast Guard confirmed two positive cases on Tuesday and two more yesterday. DeHart says there have also been two additional cases connected with the base, bringing the total to six. DeHart urged parents to stay calm.
Every effort is made by all the contact tracers involved to talk with everybody who is a close contact. People don't need to worry. If you haven't been called, then that's okay. You're all right.
Despite all that, DeHart says the Coast Guard outbreak is a reminder of how quickly COVID can spread.
I think the teachable moment, just like any time, we just need to keep our guard up. It could be anybody that you're next to. It could be somebody who's positive and you don't know it.
DeHart credited the Coast Guard for quick action and says its COVID prevention policies are more stringent than what the state requires. A Coast Guard spokesperson said members who have tested positive for the virus have been isolated while an investigation continues to track down the source of the exposure. The Coast Guard says at least four crew members were involved in recent operations that took them off Kodiak Island, but none of these cases involve personal travel. The base has also stepped up efforts to prevent the spread to the community, but remains fully operational. Until now, there have been no cases of COVID-19 reported at the Kodiak Coast Guard base. Since April, there have been 80 positive tests in the Kodiak region. Currently, there are seven cases classified as active locally. In our first recap of Tuesday night's Borough Assembly Candidate Forum, all five candidates for three assembly seats discussed their views on the economy, education, and consolidation. Here is KMXT's Jared Griffin overviewing the candidates' position on nonprofit funding, village cooperation and borough decisions, COVID-19, and conflicts of interest.
Even though borough financial support for nonprofits makes up a relatively small portion of the borough's multi-million dollar budget, few issues turn up public comment at assembly meetings than when they are discussing nonprofit support. Most candidates expressed their support for nonprofits. Incumbent Julie Cavanaugh.
Nonprofits are an important aspect of Kodiak Island's quality of life, and I firmly believe that the Borough Assembly has worked really hard to spread the funds that are available to nonprofits as fairly as possible.
But in an era of shrinking revenue, nonprofit funding may not find as big a place in future borough budgets. Incumbent Rebecca Skinner explains.
You really need to start with the expenditures that you have to make. And for the borough, those include paying our debt, which is, let's round it up, $9 million, supporting education, let's say round number $9 million, and taking care of our borough buildings. Borough buildings at a minimum should be getting, $2 million set aside to take care of borough buildings. If you add up 9 plus 9 plus 2, you get $20 million, and clearly that far exceeds the amount that we collect in property tax.
Candidate Amy Williams sees nonprofit support as an economic issue.
That is something that is directly related to keeping people here and getting kids to come back from college and raise families here, which then in turn returns revenue back to the borough and the city. When we look at essential things, I find that I lean way more to nonprofits being essential more than unnecessary.
All of the candidates also expressed the need to increase communication with village communities and proposed some ways to do that. Candidate Jeff Smith.
But I also would be interested in exploring the potential of like an advisory board. Is there a way to include some of our leaders from our rural communities in those discussions or in work sessions and getting input from them as well in terms of the things that are happening in their communities and the things that are happening in the city of Kodiak?
Skinner proposed reviving the Borough Mayor's Conference.
It's basically a conference of all of the village mayors hosted by the borough mayor. And back in the day, it was an in-person meeting, so everybody flew into Kodiak. And that provided a structure which brought together the municipal leaders of the different communities. And it was an opportunity for information sharing and creating and maintaining those connections.
Candidate Alex Hartman suggested expanding the assembly.
Possibly even maybe creating a seat for each village here at the Borough Assembly so their voices can be heard and they can have a better opinion and get some dialogue going.
Looming over the candidate forum was the borough's response to COVID-19, a pandemic that has affected every issue the candidates discussed. All of the candidates reinforced the importance for public officials to stay informed, as Kavanaugh explained.
I think it is important moving forward that the borough stay engaged and informed. As an assembly member, I proactively attended state and federal COVID teleconference briefings throughout the pandemic, and to the best of my ability, researched and studied the CARES Act funding criteria.
Williams again pointed to the economic impacts.
The businesses were left scrambling, and I think that the borough did a good job when they stepped up and gave a portion of their CARES Act money to be distributed as grants to the businesses. And again, touching back on the nonprofits, that was really helpful.
Smith agreed and brought up additional relief opportunities.
I think that it's in our interest to continue to support those local businesses, whether that's through grants or waivers or extensions on whether that's taxes due, rent due for borough buildings. And I think we need to be ready to be embracing this for the long haul. Like, I think that we're just getting started again.
The candidates also agreed on supporting local preferences for borough contracts, as Hartman explained the economic benefits of small projects.
I think keeping small projects to the contractors in this town is a great economic drive because it does keep the money here, tends to keep it here, more closer to home.
Williams agreed, but noted the positive economic effects that off-island contractors have.
They require accommodations and rental cars and entertainment and beer. Their money gets fed that way. That has actually saved some of our businesses this summer when there were a lack of tourists having those folks on the island.
Finally, all of the candidates assured the public that they would abide by any conflict of interest policies and rulings. The forum ended with each candidate making their final pitch to voters and summarizing their priorities for the borough. Incumbents Kavanaugh and Skinner reiterated their takes on the budget.
Maintaining a stable tax rate is the top priority. I think that it'll be hard to do, that if you ask the question, will my taxes remain stable? I can't promise you that, but a stable tax rate will remain my priority.
My biggest issue is we have this huge budget situation, but that doesn't mean that we can stop taking care of the borough's day-to-day business and address issues that we need to as they come up.
Challengers highlighted their skills in communication and collaboration. Candidate Hartman.
Yeah, I tend to hold a high integrity and have open communication with both the public and fellow members on the assembly.
Smith added.
I would just say in my professional career, I've had experience in having difficult conversations, valuing relationships, listening for understanding, and being able to work with others. I think that's a skill set that I offer this assembly.
Forum moderator Mike Wall read statements from two other candidates who could not attend the forum, Joe Delgado and Sandra Katelnikoff-Lester. For KMXT News in Kodiak, I'm Jared Griffin.
You can listen to the full forum and part one of KMXT's forum recap on KMXT.org. Election day for local election, including races for the Borough Assembly, City Council, and School Board, is Tuesday, October 6th. That's next Tuesday. But remember, you could be voting right now. Early voting is available at the Borough Building and the Borough Assembly Chambers through Monday, October 5th, and that occurs between 8:30 and 4:30. CrowdFest 2021 is proceeding as planned this upcoming year, and the Kodiak Chamber of Commerce is calling for submissions for the design of its poster and logo.
A huge part of it is just the social aspect of it, too, for town. Like, we do have a lot of tourists, and it's exciting, but it's also a real coming together of the community after kind of our winter hibernation before everybody goes out and goes fishing and starts their busy summer season.
That's Sarah Culberson, owner of the Frame Shop in Kodiak and member of the Kodiak Chamber of Commerce's CrabFest board. She says that the event is always a big boon to the local economy, including her business.
When it didn't happen in May, we lost out on quite a large piece of income for our early, like, after winter dry spell.
While the CrabFest is still a long way off, Kodiak's artistically gifted can participate today in the 2021 Kodiak Crab Festival logo and poster contest. Submissions are to be sent to the Kodiak Chamber of Commerce office, that's at 100 Marine Way, by 5 p.m. on November 9th of this year. And if you want to know more about it, just go to the Chamber's website for the Crab Festival. That's at KodiakCrabFest.com. Kodiak is looking forward to the return of cruise ships in 2021, while the recently published schedule is still extremely tentative in the context of the global pandemic. Cruise ships may reach the dock of Kodiak as early as May 1st this upcoming year. Many small businesses downtown and around the island benefit from the tourism that the ships provide. For them, it would be the first time seeing business from a cruise ship visitor since 2019. Only 15 cruise ship visits are presently scheduled in Kodiak for next year, which is low compared to previous years. That number could change drastically as the outlook for COVID-19 pandemic and present economic downturn either worsens or improves. However, the Centers for Disease Control pushed to extend an order barring large cruise ships from sailing from U.S. ports until February 2021 over coronavirus concerns. But the agency was overruled by Vice President Mike Pence. That's according to a report from the news outlet Axios that cites two unnamed sources with knowledge of the conversation. Axios reports that the Trump administration instead plans to extend the order through October 31st of this year. That coincides with the planned end of a voluntary suspension instituted by the cruise industry group Cruise Lines International. The CDC's no-sail order was set to expire on October 1st.
Support for KMXT's Midday Report is provided by Artinger's Fine Furnishings, featuring children's clothing from the Tea Collection, home spa items from Crabtree and Evelyn, and leather handbags by Dooney and Burke. Special orders of the Tea Collection clothing in your child's size always welcome at Artinger's. 486-5554.
This is Fish Radio. I'm Lainey Welch. October is National Seafood Month. And where in the world do they eat the most fish? You'll be surprised. More after this.
The Alaska Seafood Marketing Institute works to raise the value of our seafood harvest for the benefit of all Alaskans. Learn more at alaskaseafood.org.
October is National Seafood Month, a distinction proclaimed by Congress more than a quarter century ago to recognize one of our nation's oldest industries. Government figures show that nationwide, the seafood industry provides more than 250,000 jobs and contributes $60 billion to the U.S. economy each year. Alaska deserves special merit during Seafood Month as it produces over 60% of our nation's seafood, more than all the other states combined. The seafood industry is Alaska's number one private employer, and Alaska seafood industry ranks second only to Big Oil for the tax dollars it pumps into state coffers. Here are some more fish facts. Americans ate 16 pounds of seafood last year. That compares to more than 180 8 pounds of red meat and nearly 73 pounds of poultry per person. America's seafood favorites have remained largely the same. The top five are shrimp, salmon, canned tuna, pollock, and tilapia. America's seafood appetite is being fed mostly by foreign imports. More than 85% of all fish and shellfish eaten in the U.S. comes from other countries. Speaking of other countries, that 16 pounds of seafood that Americans eat pales when compared to other parts of the world. The Japanese, for example, eat 146 pounds of seafood per person each year. UN figures show that in Greenland, it's 186 pounds and more than 200 pounds per person in Iceland. The country with the lowest seafood consumption is Afghanistan at zero. And where in the world is the most seafood eaten? The South Pacific Islands of Tokelau, where each person eats more than 440 pounds of seafood every year. Celebrate seafood this month in your community. Fish Radio is also brought to you by OBI Seafoods. In Kodiak, I'm Lainey Welch.
This is the Island Messenger, a look at personal messages, the weather, and community announcements.
Welcome to your Island Messenger for Thursday. It is the first day of August. First day of October, the year 2020. Sun rose today at 8:16 a.m. It won't set again until 7:42 this evening. That is going to give us 11 hours and 26 minutes of daylight, a loss of 4 minutes and 56 seconds compared to yesterday. We have high tide coming up on the east side at 2:42 p.m. That's going to be an 8.5-foot tide, followed by a low tide at 8:44 this evening of 0.6 feet. Your high tide for the middle of the night will be at 2:54 a.m. of 8.4 feet. And your low tide tomorrow morning will be at 8:55 in the morning, a 0.6-foot tide. Over on the west side, and these are Euganic Pass tides, you have a high tide coming up at 3:10 p.m. That's going to be a 15.6-foot tide, followed by a low tide at 9:19 p.m. of minus 0.09 feet. Your high tide for the wee hours will be at 3:22 in the morning of 15.4 feet, and your low tide for tomorrow morning on the west side will be at 9:31 in the morning, 0.03 feet. 52 degrees presently in Kodiak. We're looking for heavy winds overnight, high near 54 today. We are looking at east winds to 35 miles per hour tonight, increasing to 55 miles per hour this evening. Chance of precipitation is 100%, and we're looking for up to 2 inches overnight, causing the Weather Service to issue a warning for flooding of streams and possible mudslides. Connected with that weather, mariners be aware. Here's your synopsis for the North Gulf Coast, including Kodiak Island waters and Cook Inlet. A 970 millibar low, 200 nautical miles south of Kodiak, will move Thursday evening to 135 nautical miles south of Kodiak and remain at 970 millibars by Thursday night. This low will continue to 105 nautical miles southwest of Kodiak and go to 975 millibars by Friday morning. The low will then move inland while slowly weakening. Your resulting weather is significant. Storm warning through tonight from Marmot Island to Sitkanak, Kodiak's east side offshore. Southeast winds of 30 knots will become east 50 knots this afternoon. Seas to 17 feet will build to 23 feet as east winds of 55 knots will come about tonight. For tomorrow, look for southwest wind to 40 knots and seas to 26 feet. And for Saturday, look for southeast 25, seas to 15 feet. Over in the Shelikof and Kodiak's west side, we have a storm warning tonight. Southeast wind to 25 knots will become northeast 40 this afternoon and turn and increase to 55 knots tonight. Seas will build to 27 feet in the Shelikof tonight. For tomorrow, look for northeast winds of 35 knots, becoming south winds to 40 knots tomorrow afternoon. Seas to 16 feet will come down to 12 feet tomorrow night in the Shelikof. Run the Rock registration is open. Look for the blue button on the right side of the website at kmxt.org. We're including a marathon, half marathon, 10K, and 5K. And if you have a choice of running at the in-person Run the Rock on October 10th, or you can run a virtual race between the 9th and the 12th, you could just pick the time and the course in that case. Check it out on the website. Look for the blue Run the Rock button at kmxt.org. Also, Kodiak Island Ambulatory Care Clinic is offering 15-minute rapid COVID testing. If you'd like to make an appointment, call them at 486-6188. And the Kodiak Chamber of Commerce is pleased to announce the confirmation of the Alaska U.S. senatorial candidate debate between Senator Dan Sullivan and Dr. Al Gross. The fisheries-themed debate will occur on October 10th at 5 p.m. and can be viewed at the kodiakchamber.com website or comfishak.com, as well as being broadcast on local radio stations KMXT, statewide public radio stations around the state. The moderator will be Rhonda McBride. For more information, send an email to chamber@kodiak.org.
Listen for the Island Messenger here on public radio KMXT 2 times a day, Monday through Friday at 9 a.m. and during the midday report at 12:20. If you have a community announcement or personal message, including lost and found items or pets, you can call KMXT at 486-3181. Fax us at 486-2733 or email psa@kmxt.org.